Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome, my friends, to episode 80 of Jacques Talk. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Reed. We hope you are prepared to be entertained and dazzled for the next hour or so. Number 80, who comes to mind, bro?
Tony Hill, Jerry Rice, James Lofton.
Oh, you went wide receiver crazy, man.
Yes, sir. What other?
Thrill Hill was the first one that came to my mind.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Out of Stanford.
And, yeah, you know, he was. And then, you know, he was in charge of fining players for the uniform violations.
Really?
For about decades. So he wasn't a favorite amongst the Cowboys of the 90s and the early aughts.
Yeah,
of the league. He was always finding them for not having their uniform ready.
That guy, That guy is not a – nobody in the league is a fan of that guy, whatever era. You know, especially today, though. I've seen some guys complain about the swag. You know, what's up? You know, nope. None of that.
Now, Thrill Hill was one of the great ones. Big – think about Alvin Harper. He was kind of like Alvin Harper. Drew got all the attention. Drew made a lot of big catches, clutch catches, but Tony Hill made his fair share – of big-time plays over there opposite of Drew.
Yeah, who was – Alvin Harper was also 80 when he first came. I think he was 82 when he came back. When he came back, he was 82 or something like that. But
real quick exit ramp.
Yeah.
I was doing a research on a project, and I forgot, and I covered the Cowboys back then, and Alvin Harper showed up in 99, and I don't even remember him showing up in 99, but he returned in 99, he caught a couple passes, and I don't even remember him being on the team in 99. So it'd be like that sometimes when you get caught up in other folks and, you know,
After that Tampa Bay money, he came back, and he was out of shape, too.
Well, I had a conversation with a former Cowboy the other day about that. He said, you couldn't blame Harper for turning down. Harper couldn't have turned down the Tampa Bay money. It was too much. But he'd have been far better off had he never left Dallas, because he was never ever the same player, never ever had the same career, never ever did really anything after he left Dallas. But he did get that big check. And in the NFL, you can never blame a man for catching the big check.
You ain't lying.
That being said, we always appreciate Grinning Law. If you've ever involved in an accident, any kind of accident. It could be with a car. It could be with an 18-wheeler. It can be at a business, a place of residence. If somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, then you need to pick up the phone, call 972-934-8900, and say, hey, here's my situation. Here's my details. What do you think? And I'm telling you, if they bring you on as a client, it's been a fantastic day for you, because they're going to ride for you. They're going to ride with you. They're going to do everything they can do to help you win your case. So you'd be like, so what does that really mean? Well, here's what it means. What it means is, if you need a doctor's appointment, they'll set it up for you. Hey, check this out. If you need to go see a specialist because something is wrong, they'll set that up for you. Find a doctor, set it up. All you got to do is show up. Why? They literally don't want you focused on anything but renewal and healing. Get your mind right. Get your body right. Get your life back. It's really that simple. That's what they want you focused on, because these cases can last a while. They can be lengthy. They can be frustrating. They can be time consuming. They can be intimidating and scary, all that kind of stuff. But Grinning Law and Robert Grinning are here to walk you through the process. They hold your hand, man. They tell you when to turn left and when to turn right. They answer questions that you didn't even know were supposed to be asked. Did you hear that? Like, they say, hey, check this out. Here's the answer. And you're like, what's the question? They've already got that far for you. Why? They literally want all your energy focused on healing and renewal. They want you to get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. It's really that simple. Check this out. Guess what it costs to call at 972-934-8900? Nothing. Literally nothing. Consultation is free. You just need to pick up the phone, dial the number 972-934-8900, let them know your situation, and hope like heck they bring you on as a client, because if they do, your life will change. That's Greening Law. I was looking at some stuff this morning, doing my morning reading before I got my morning workout in today. And Mac Jones, the great Mac Jones, first round pick of the New England Patriots in 2021, 15th overall. That dude went for a 6th round pick to Jacksonville. Now, you do not have to be in the stock market. You do not have to trade stocks, be a day trader, or dabble in the stock market. You don't have to have a mutual fund. You don't even have to check your 401k if you got one. You know that's a bad return on investment. If you draft a guy in the first round, 15th overall, and 3 years later, when he should be leading you to a championship or putting you in position to lead you to a championship, you trade him for a 6th round pick. First question for you, did you think there was any way Mac Jones was going to be worth more than that?
Nah, especially not with the kind of attitude that he have. I shouldn't say that. Let me say this.
That you think he has based on what you read.
Yeah, I didn't think he was. I didn't think he would go as. To answer your question, I should say, I would think he was worth more. But if you look at it, you ain't surprised. He need to get out of. He got to get out of New England. You know, maybe he wanted out of there more than they wanted to keep him. I don't know. You know, it's been up and down the whole time with him.
Well, here's what it got me to thinking. I said, I should take a look at the quarterbacks from the 2021 draft, because you're moving into this year, the 4th year in the league. This is when they should be establishing themselves as, you know, where they fit into the league. After 3 full years, you're moving toward who you really are in the league, whether you're an up-and-coming, whether you're already a star, whether you're on your way out. And the 2021 draft is interesting because there were 8 quarterbacks taken in the first 3 rounds, the most ever. And it's always interesting to talk about quarterbacks because we got Dak Prescott here, and there's always some question about should we keep him and should we let him go. Now, this is not this conversation, but it just provides some insight. So, let's look at the quarterbacks taken in the 2021 draft, Doc. You got Trevor Lawrence, 46-22 as a starter. Hey, check this out. I don't count his first year under Urban Meyer, because Urban Meyer was a douche and was a bad coach for Jacksonville. He was great with my Buckeyes.
Roger that.
Great with my Buckeyes. He wasn't worth a shit in the NFL.
Roger that.
I'm just going to say, I can't say nothing else. And so I don't even count Trevor Lawrence's first year. Doug Peterson got him. He got 46 TDs, 22 picks the last couple years. He's had a little bit of an injury problem. But I was troubled by the fact that Jacksonville lost their last 5 games last year and missed the playoffs. It looked like for a while he was on his way, and then that ship got turned sideways and he could not get it righted. Are you a Trevor Lawrence guy?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is just still good. I mean, the NFL stands for not for long. So you got to make adjustments. So I think it's just a matter of him learning and going back and processing what he need to do better, you know. I ain't give up on him. No, it's too early.
You think Trevor Lawrence can win the Super Bowl?
Yep, I think so.
Okay.
He's just a talented dude. I mean, it's too early in his career. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, stuff goes sideways, or his story is still to be written. That's what I think.
All right. First pick in the draft, Trevor Lawrence. Second pick in the draft, Zach Wilson. Thus far, a bust by any definition you want to use.
Man.
Here's the question, though, I have about Zach Wilson. And I say this all the time. Clancy Hill Jr. wanted to argue me down and argue you down. A couple weeks ago, we talked about this. The E stands for every time he says something, he think it's right. That being said,
every chance he get, he going to argue. We talking about him. Well, he ain't here. We talking about him. I'm going to save it. Talk about his ass.
And you can tell him so.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But here's the deal. Zach Wilson got put in with a franchise that's notoriously a raggedy franchise. And so I don't know that had he gone to another franchise that wasn't quite as dysfunctional, whether he could have been successful. But that didn't happen for him. And so he, to me, is a bust by any name in which you want to, any standard you want to use. He's a bust as the number two pick overall. And so I would be surprised if he did anything in the league. He may have enough talent to bounce around and be with four or five teams over the next 4 or 5 years and collect some money. But I don't think he'll ever do anything. What do you think?
A different situation might do him some good. But I ain't seen no flashes from him. I haven't seen anything that makes you go, damn, that's why he was a first-round pick. Or, hey, there's some potential there. Or only if, because he been playing bad. I mean, the little stuff that he do is not enough because it's like he can't get no consistency no matter what. You would think with the team built for Aaron Rodgers that he would have been able to do something within that system. But he didn't do do him no good.
He didn't do nothing. Mm-mm. Third pick in the draft, 2021 draft. Who was it, Joe?
I'm drawing a blank.
You thinking?
Nah, because
Trey Lance, baby.
That's right. You know, I'm gonna say something. When I got the notes, my mind went 24th pick in the draft. I mean, 2024 quarterback. So I was jumping all over that. No. So I'm drawing off the doggone dome on this on this stuff right now. So I'm a little delayed. It's called
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance,
third pick in the draft. I don't know that Trey Lance will ever get a chance to be a starter unless fate intervenes. And here's what I'm talking about. He's going to get a chance, I believe, in the Cowboys preseason to show what he can do. One, because you know they're not going to play Dak. Two, they already know what Cooper Rush can do. So three, to me, they're going to turn the preseason over to Trey Lance and see what he can do.
That could be a problem.
They would hope, huh?
That could be a problem on the media side, on the fan side. Because what if Trey Lance lighted up in preseason? Oh, you're going to hear all that. Oh, you need to get rid of Dak. You need to do this. You need to do that. Yeah, you're going to hear all that crap. It's going to be like, dawg, it's just the preseason. It's just the preseason.
You heard,
calm down.
You heard some of that this year, and he didn't even play.
When Cooper Rush was playing, they should keep number 10 in there. They should keep Cooper. Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah, that's number one, you can't, as an organization, you can't pay attention to what fans say in general. And then number two, it just falls in the category of, that's what fans do. Fans always want the backup quarterback. They always want the backup player who shows any potential because they're tired of the dude that they're watching. And usually coaches say, well, he's a backup for a reason. And if he's exposed long enough, you will see why he's a backup most of the time. That being said, the best thing that could happen for Dallas would be the worst thing, is he play well in training camp and preseason. But then the only way you're really going to know what he can do is if Dak is injured and out for two or three games, Trey Lance gets a chance to play and gives you a glimpse of what he can do. Much like your boy, Jason Garrett did. The only reason Jason Garrett played 15 years in the league was he got two or three chances to play because Aikman was hurt. And every time he got a chance, he was solid. He wasn't great, but he was solid.
He threw them bombs to the aforementioned Alvin Harper.
Alvin Harper?
Yes, he did.
And so he was a really good backup, a guy who would come in and not lose a game, but give you a chance to win. And so, I think if Trey Lance got a chance to play, you would see if he's got any trade value. You could see if he's the future, any of that. But barring that, and nobody, I'm not wishing anything bad happen to Dak. You're not going to know because he's not going to get any meaningful playing time. It's just that simple.
Can he jump Cooper Rush as the backup?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Cooper Rush, I believe, makes about $5 million a year. Trey Lance just signed a deal, I think, pays him about $4 million. I don't think they want $9 million spent on backup quarterbacks when Dak Prescott is making $59 million
Roger that.
As of right now. So, they would like, I believe, for Trey Lance to bump Cooper Rush. Now, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I believe they would like for that to happen.
That's why you get paid the big bucks. That intel right there.
The 11th pick of the first round, Justin Fields. He's on the trade market right now. And I think he, too, will bring back a very poor return on investment. Why is that? Because Mac Jones, who was taking four picks behind him, just went for a six-round pick. Justin Fields has been okay, but there's a reason why they're putting him on the market. And so I'm not sure. I think they went in hoping he could bring a first-round pick or maybe a second-round pick at worst. Bruh, Justin Fields might be to the point where he can only bring you a third or a fourth.
Got to get something. It's better than the sixth.
Right, you got to get something.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still don't know what Justin Fields is. Because last 2 years, you know, here's the problem with Justin Fields. He's had 318 attempts and 370 attempts in a passing league, in a league where teams pass first and all the rules are designed for you to throw the ball. Justin Fields still has not cracked 3,000 yards passing. He hasn't even cracked 2,600 yards passing. And he started 28 games. He's averaging, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just not, it's just hard to win like that in today's NFL. You can blame the scheme. You can blame the lack of talent they have at receiver. All of that is legitimate to me. But the bottom line is, you know, there just hasn't been very much offensive production. He's been dynamic as a runner, not dynamic as a passer. And again, I don't know how much of that is the offense and the scheme and the coordinator and all of that, and how much is him. I just know that he getting blamed for it, and it's not enough production.
Go
ahead.
It's hard to throw when you're running for your life. It's hard to throw when the scheme is bad, when the blocking is bad, and the receivers don't get open. They've got one guy.
I'm not disputing any of that.
One guy, DJ Moore, that you know of, that's a quality NFL receiver for his team. I think Justin Fields is drafted in a poor situation. I think they drafted poorly around him. And He way more talented than Mac Jones. See, the fact that he got wheels gives him a chance to make it in this league. The fact that he can do some dual quarterback stuff, you know, gives him a chance to make it and do it somewhere else, because there's a lot of guys doing that. You know, that's where Mac Jones is short on that. So,
you know. Justin Fields has started 28 games. He has one 300-yard game. He has 13 games total of more than 200 yards passing. 15 games fewer than 200 yards passing, which is just ridiculous in today's NFL. For the reasons Joe mentioned or whatever, at a certain point it becomes, for whatever the reason, the production has not been there. Now, again, he's been dynamic as a runner. And so he gives you that threat. And that, you know, he's got 500-yard games, two more with 70 and three more with 80. And he is a threat to take it to distance at any moment.
Okay, I give you been
a lot of talk about him.
No, I'm go sorry. Ahead. No, go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying there's been a lot of talk about him going to Atlanta. But again, I don't know what the Bears can get for him right now.
I'd jump on a third for him. I think I'll give you an example of Justin Fields' ability. He could be Tyrod Taylor and still make it in this league. But he throws the ball. He got more talent than Tyrod Taylor. Tyrod Taylor is a good quarterback he was a decent quarterback that got kind of bounced from situation to situation. You know, replaced in Buffalo, and he did a decent job in Buffalo. Replaced with the Chargers, and he got hurt in Chargers. They drafted Justin Herbert. I think Justin Fields is just as good as him, probably a lot better and a lot more talented, but you got to get in the right situation. And plus, when you got athletic ability like that, you can hang around in this league until you understand what's going on. And a lot of guys do that. Vinny Testaverde. You know, he was about 40. Right. He was about 40 when he became a good quarterback. But he played his ass off from 40 to 40 something. So Justin Fields is, I think he got skills. I don't know. It's just a bad situation. And they finna put Caleb Williams in the same situation.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Yes, they are. Unless they, unless they trade that pick and end up, whoever they get, they're going to put in a bad situation.
Yeah, it's bad over there.
The 15th pick of the first round, Mac Jones, we talked about him. He started and had a great year. And to me, and I have no dog in this hunt, as they say, Mac Jones got screwed by Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Why would you take a first round pick at quarterback, a guy who went 10-7 as a rookie, as a starter, threw 22 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions as a rookie, had a 92.5 passer rating as a rookie? Check this out. I just told you Justin Fields has started 28 games and has never, started two seasons and has never cracked 2,600 yards passing. He averages 171 yards passing a game, which is atrocious. Mac Jones threw for 3,800 as a rookie. So why would you take a guy who showed you all that potential after you done lost Tom Brady and you started a new era? Why would you take that guy? I'm asking you, Joe, in a second. Why would you take that guy and say, hey, Joe Judge, I believe that's his name, who ain't never worked on offense. He's been a special teams coordinator his whole life. He's going to be your play caller. And then Matt Patricia, who's been a defensive coordinator all these years, he's going to be your offensive coordinator. Who does that?
Somebody who think he know everything. Somebody who think that side of the ball is easy. You know, it's just, skills transferable or something. I don't know. It's crazy. Why would you think?
That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, and your new guy.
Like, literally, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You went from Josh McDaniel to them guys.
Who's a terrific offensive coordinator, no matter what you think about it.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you think? You could just mix and match and say, all right, here, let me stick this guy in here and it's going to be all good.
Yeah.
I don't know the Matt Patricia.
You know what he thought, Doug?
Go ahead.
He took the Jerry Jones approach. Any one of 500 coaches can win the Super Bowl with this team. He thought, hey, between me and my defense, we can put anybody over there on offense and we'll be competitive. And instead, he put the team in a downward spiral because Mac Jones sucked last year. I mean, 2 years ago with those guys, and he sucked last year. Ended up getting benched and yanked out of several games, lost his confidence, became an attitude problem in the building. And now he's been traded for a 6th-round pick.
Benched,
I blame it all on Bill Belichick.
Benched about 9 times. You the guy. Yeah. You not the guy. You the guy. What the hell? You know, Bailey Zappi, yeah, so, anybody who can throw a football was better than Mac Jones to Bill Belichick.
Ridiculous, man. There were no quarterbacks taken in Kyle Trask was taken in the second round by Tampa Bay. He's been backing up Baker Mayfield the last couple of years. Seems like he's just a guy. Kellen Mond was taken in the second round by Minnesota. He's out of the league right now.
Yep. A&M.
Yep. A&M. I'm sorry. He was the third. He was taken in third round, 66th overall. And then Davis Mills is backing up C.J. Stroud in Houston. He had a couple cups of coffee as a starter. Was not able to differentiate himself, and now that C.J. Stroud is there, he will do nothing in Houston. He may get a crack somewhere else, but his days as a starter or a meaningful player in Houston are over. He did get 19 starts, though. Went 5-19-1, so I guess that's 20 starts. 24 starts. So he had an opportunity. He just couldn't do much with it. But he's got some potential. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see him bounce around the league for a while just because despite those losses and despite what Houston had before C.J. Stroud showed up, he still threw 35 touchdowns and 25 interceptions. It's not the ratio you want, but it's more TDs than picks. And he can probably be a backup in the league for a decade if that's what he wants to do. But that's the story of the class of 2021 quarterbacks, dog. And it tells a tale, if you ask me, that it's hard to find quarterbacks. 8 quarterbacks, the most ever taken. Only one legitimate starter out that whole group.
Well, you got maybe quarterbacks. You got them. The thing about that is you got quarterbacks of all ilk on that. You got the mobile ones. You got the guys who didn't, like Trey Lance, who didn't do a lot of starting. You got the guy like Mac Jones who started a lot in college. So the formula to find one varies. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what do you do? You got Trey Lance who's got the perfect physical, all the gifts you want, but he didn't play a lot, so he don't have the intangibles. You got Mac Jones who had all the intangibles and played a lot, and he still didn't pan out because of the circumstances of how he was brought in this league. So, and you got Justin Fields, which, man, out of all of them, I still like Justin and you know, Trey Lance, but, I mean, Trevor Lawrence is the man, but I can't give up on Justin right away. I can't give up on the other guys, no. Not so much, but Justin, nah, I ain't giving up. I ain't giving up on him. I think he's still.
And playing. It always goes back to this, and this is the point I'm always trying to make. When people say, well, let's just get rid of Dak and go get another quarterback. Getting another quarterback is not the problem. Getting another quarterback who can play is the problem. We just saw a draft with 8 quarterbacks, 5 in the first round, only one surefire starter. Everybody else is, and the other two, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, maybe they can resurrect their careers on other teams. And then Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, you'd be surprised if they became starters later. That's 1 out of 5 guys taken in the top 15 picks that's worth a daggone. That's the only point I make is you just say get rid of Dak like, hey, we're going to call 1-800-QUARTERBACKS, go get another one. And I keep trying to tell y'all, it don't work like that. Maybe you get blessed and maybe you don't. It literally is, you know, 27 on black, a roulette wheel toss. There's no rhyme or reason to it. You can scout them. You can take them number 1 overall. You can take them 31st, 32nd. It doesn't matter. There's no guarantee. When you take it, it's just a crapshoot. Some of them have better odds than others the higher you take them. But if anybody thought Dak Prescott was going to be Dak Prescott, you think he would have lasted to the 4th round and 135th pick?
Top 5 pick. If anybody thought Daniel Jones was going to be Daniel Jones, he wouldn't have been a 6th pick.
Right.
You know, so, you can get blessed or you can get Daniel Jones. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah, because I didn't see to say he going to get 40-something million. I saw nothing.
Nah.
He was either hurt or playing bad.
And here's the problem with that. You can sit up here and say, oh, I don't care. I'm willing to take that shot. And then when your Cowboys got terrible quarterback play, and they 5-11 3 straight years while they're looking for a quarterback, anybody going to remember that they were cheering on get rid of Dak? They're just going to be like, how come the Cowboys can't find a quarterback? They suck. Jerry Jones need to retire. That's what the conversation's going to be. So all I say is beware what you ask for. Go in with your eyes wide open and understand the possibilities of what could happen. You do that, it's all good. Whatever happens, you can live with it.
My simplistic logic on all of that is when you get rid of anything, if you get rid of your car, what you going to get? If you get rid of your house, where you going to live? If you're going to get rid of your coach or your quarterback, who you going to get? That's all I'm saying. Who you going to get? And how is that acquired? You know, I don't know. That's my simplistic logic on it. When people start talking about getting rid of people.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to at least one guy who's a bona fide superstar. Luka Doncic of your Dallas Mavericks. Another huge game last night against the Detroit Pistons. Luka, what did he have last night? Was last night 30-12-16, or was last night 39-10-10? Bottom line is he's had 6 straight 35-point triple-doubles. Did y'all hear that? 6 straight triple-doubles, all of which he scored at least 35 points in a game. At a certain point, you're like, well, damn, how many more accolades can I throw at Luka? And the number and the answer is really how much time do you have? Because the dude is phenomenal. Mavericks win 142-124 against Detroit on Saturday night. And Doncic, 39 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. They needed all of that because they didn't pull away into the fourth quarter. Your boy, man, Cade Cunningham, 33 points, 11 of 21 from the field, 3 of 7, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. He put on a show last night and it still wasn't good enough.
Probably in honor of his grandma. Probably in honor of his grandma passing. He just had the funeral Friday.
Joe has been friends with Kay Cunningham's dad, Keith, since they played together in high school at Sam Houston.
Junior high. We grew up in the same apartments together. So we've probably been friends since we was about 10.
Damn. See, there you go. And when did you know Kay was going to be good enough to go to the NBA?
Man, when he scored 1,000 points at Bowie High School so fast, and then they moved him to, like, I remember them coming to play North Crowley over here, and I said, I'll get him. I was working a lot, so I'll get to him next time. Wasn't no next time. He was gone to Mount Verde, or however you say that, the school where all the first-round picks go in Florida. And the moment I knew he was going to be good was when he played wherever Greg Anthony's son son went to school at, him, those two point guards played each other. And as a junior, when Greg Anthony's son was one of the top-rated players in the country, Cade lit him up. And I was like, oh, they showed it on ESPN. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I called Keith and I was like, what's going on? And so he told me how he got him out there. You know, he would go play AAU ball. I mean, he'd play high school. Then he'd go play AAU ball, and then he'd come back, and high school where he was at just wasn't making him no better. So he went on and took him out there to where he was, you know, he played in the U.S. Junior Olympics and all of that, and you know that whole circuit they do, and then they got him over there. So they got him out there to Florida, wherever that is, Mount Verde, wherever that is. So it was kind of cool.
Well, he put on a show last night, but the Mavericks were able to prevail. Mavericks needed that win. They've won two in a row now. They got the Bulls on Monday. They got the Warriors on Wednesday. And then, and the Warriors have been playing lately, but then comes a stretch, Doug, where they play the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Spurs, back-to-back games against the Jazz, and then back-to-back games against the Kings. And that kind of wraps up the season. They are at the moment where they need to start playing better basketball. They need to start putting a little streak together just so they can be playing their best basketball heading into the playoffs. And right now, man, after that tough little stretch of losing, they are 8.5 back of first place Oklahoma City in the conference. They are a game behind Phoenix, a game behind Sacramento, 2.5 games behind number 5th-seeded New Orleans. That seems like a lot to make up just because everybody's playing everybody and they haven't been able to really put a streak together. But if they're going to do it, opportunity is knocking right about now. I would love to see them get to the 5th spot. But outside of that, man, if you're in the 3rd spot and you end up – if you end up in the 6th seed, you're going to play Denver, which doesn't seem like something that you want to do. You know, the 8th seed is playing Oklahoma City, which got the number 1 seed. Although, just so you know, duh, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, and Denver are separated by 0.5. So that thing could go down to the last game of the year. And who knows who you play. But I don't think you want any of those teams right now. Maybe Minnesota, just because they haven't really done anything. But they got the Ant-Man, who's a beast. Karl Anthony Towns is out with a torn meniscus for a month. He'll probably get back right as the playoffs start. And then they got Rudy Gobert, so they got a defensive presence inside. You know, Oklahoma City with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been one of the best teams in the league all year. And then, you know, you got Denver, the two-time defending champ. So that West is loaded, my brother. Denver's starting to play some really good basketball. And all I want to see from the Mavs is, can y'all just put a little streak together? And let's see where it goes from there.
Yeah, they don't want none of Oklahoma City. I don't think nobody wants none of Oklahoma City. That's just a weird team. They got a 6'5 power forward. They got a 7'1 right. center. They got a 6'8 shooting right. guard and a 6'5 shooting guard. It's just they just all over the place. They can run. They can play defense. They can shoot. They can pick and roll. They do a lot of stuff over there. I don't know.
And they're going to be good for a minute because Sam Presti got like a million draft choices.
Yeah, he do.
Not to use in the draft, but to acquire whatever players yeah. that he wants.
Yeah. Well, he drafted
so that's really
well.
What those draft picks are for.
Well, he drafted well. Yep. Williams, Jalen Williams, Josh Giddey, Holmgren, the center. Yeah. He done hit on yep. some things over there. He's doing a good job.
Sam Presti good, man. He helped build the Spurs up. Now he helped build Oklahoma City up. He is that guy
yep.
when it comes to running the team. It's taking a minute, but as my mama used to say, it don't seem like so long once it's over.
Yeah, I used that.
And
the other
that's
day.
Suffering. That, did you now? That's good for you.
Yeah.
Because that's as true as it. That's yeah, as, I borrowed that. That's one of the truest things ever.
I'm going to borrow the good stuff.
I say it all the time. So, but if you look at the Mavericks, to me, the Mavericks ain't really changed all that much, man. We know what Luka's going to give you. We basically know what Kyrie is going to give you. It's, will the role players do anything? When they do, the Mavericks win. When they don't, the Mavericks tend to lose. And the problem with role players is what? They're role players. Why are they role players? Because they're not consistent enough to be stars. Tim Hardaway Jr., perfect example. Now, to me, he being over-criticized right now. But the reality is, he's being over-criticized because the Mavericks, through whatever moves the Mavericks have made, the bottom line is he's probably their third best player. And I think I told y'all one time, my son was playing AAU ball, and it was his third year, and a couple of the better players had moved up. And I had watched him play a couple games, and I walked over to the coach. I said, hey, man, you know how much I love my son? He don't need to be y'all best player. He just doesn't. Because he's solid, but he ain't good enough to carry no team. I said, my dude need to be like your fifth or sixth best player, dog. When that's the case, y'all, it's all good. He said, he looked at me, man, with them sad eyes. He said, I know, man. We just going to try to make it do what it do. That, to me, is the Mavericks. Tim Hardaway, your sixth or seventh best player? Shit, it's all good. Tim Hardaway, your third best offensive weapon? Ain't really trying to feel that, bro. He too streaky.
Well, the Mavericks, the thing about the Mavericks is, the Mavericks got to make, you got to, if the Mavericks can make the other team chase them on the scoreboard, they going to win. If the Mavericks got to catch somebody, they not, you know, they need a lot of help.
Who that sound like, Doug? Who that sound like?
Sound like the Dallas Cowboys.
Who that sound like? Sound like your Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Front runners.
Yeah. Because it's like, man.
I'm not talking about mentality.
They're not going to play no defense. The Mavericks don't have no concept of defense. That's because their best two players don't play no real defense.
Well, I think sometimes people tell the truth, and other people just don't want to hear it. They just ignore it. I think Jason Kidd spends a lot of time telling the truth about the Mavericks. And I think people just gloss over it like he didn't say it. And I don't know how you change it. And what he says more than one occasion is our defense is predicated on our offense. Now, sometimes you think, oh, we play this. No, what he means is when our guys hit shots, they feel good about themselves. So then they want to go play defense. Why? So they can go get the ball back. When they don't make shots, they feel sorry for themselves and have pity party about, oh, my little jumper didn't go in. And the other team go back round down the field 5-on-4 or whatever, dunk the ball, and now you down some more. Then another shot don't go down, and you just give half-ass effort on defense. Now you're down 8. A couple more possessions, you're down 12, and it's a wrap. And so until that mentality can change, and I really don't know how you change a mentality like that because it's the antithesis of your players. You know, it's always going to be a struggle, bro.
Well, Luka playing better defense because he wasting less time arguing them damn calls so much. He actually get back. I don't know what he do when he get back. Sometimes he'll pick one off now and then, but he ain't blocking nothing. But a lot of that griping slowed down, and you know that created 5-on-4 a lot of times. It's like you still talking about the damn shit fire happened 20 seconds ago. Everybody down on the other end. You know, but he ain't doing that as much. I don't think he got as many technical.
No, but hopefully they can increase their defensive intensity, put some things together because you know we're nearing the end of the season, though. Time is running out. They've already played 67 games. There's 15 left, and they got to go make it happen, man. And the time is now.
What's the question, though? You was asking, is you think Luka's the MVP?
I didn't ask that question. Somebody asked Luka. It's not the MVP.
No. I remember when
I don't even think he's in the conversation. The team ain't won enough games for him to be the MVP.
Yeah. Well, the
MVP.
The note you sent me
sent you a
it.
Picture with his stats on it.
Yeah, it had MVP question mark. I didn't know if you did that or not.
I don't consider that a real question. That's just, you know, people put stuff on social media all the time to generate conversation. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but, you know, for purposes of conversation, he's not a real MVP candidate because the team ain't good enough.
I think he...
His numbers are phenomenal.
I think he Michael Jordan with Doug Collins. You know, Michael was doing, you know, 63 points against the Celtics. Michael was winning. When Michael would beat your team... I mean, Michael would have a great game. You couldn't guard Michael, but you beat Michael's team. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't guard Luka. Luka gonna get all those numbers, you know. But it's still a chance. It's a big percentage. He gonna lose the game. So what do those numbers mean? You know, I don't know. It's good stuff, but I don't know. Sometimes it's empty.
Yeah, well, I mean, but a lot of times they need the numbers to stay in the game. I give them credit because they're trying. The organization is trying to put the proper team around them. They just can't quite get it right. You know, it's not like they suck, okay? So we're not saying that. But they can't quite get the team the way they need to have it. And it's not a question yet. But in a couple years, literally in a couple years, you'll have to deal with the question, and I have no idea what the answer is. And we'll leave it on this note, because Luka will come up based off his statistics and all this other stuff. The Mavericks will be able to sign him to a contract that pays him like $373 million over like 5 or 6 years, which is insane. I mean, think about it. Over a five or six year period, you're going to make $373 million, not including whatever you get for your shoe deals and everything else. The question, though, will be, do you think that money changed his lifestyle at all? I would say no. So the question will be, would Luka like to force a trade or jump into free agency? Because he'd be like, shit, I don't need $373 million. I'll take $250 million and go play for a team that has a real chance to win a championship. That's the question that will have to be answered in a couple of years. You know, so it'll be interesting. I think nobody knows the answer now. And check this out. Luka is not built for every team because he's so ball dominant. He can't play with everybody. Now, he could. All this other stuff, but you have to have a certain kind of team to let you hold the ball 90% of the time.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think he could play with Kyrie. And sometimes they play well together, and sometimes one guy tilts the floor his way, and the other guy just kind of like, I'm over here. So there are stretches where Kyrie don't even see the floor. And you're going, Where's Kyrie? You know, it's just different with.
Yeah, I think Kyrie's been a little deferential.
Yeah.
For the betterment of the team.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he gets his numbers, and I think an older Kyrie could do this. A younger Kyrie would be too busy trying to put up his numbers and do all this other stuff. And that's not the case now. So it's a very interesting deal. Let's take a quick trip around the block, man.
Around the block.
Did you pay any attention to the state basketball championships?
Yeah, I think Plano went undefeated. Is it Plano East? One of them Planos went undefeated for the championship.
Yeah, Plano East. They went 40-0.
Man.
I don't care who they played. You go 40-0 in Texas high school basketball, 6A, you done a damn thing. Now, I just saw that they went 40-0. But you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the 1994 John Tyler Plano East football game. On November 26, 1994, I was covering the game for the Dallas Morning News. Both teams were 12-0, and Plano East came back from 41-17 with 3 minutes left. That's right. They down 41-17 with 3 minutes left. They take the lead, and then your boy returns the kickoff for a touchdown on basically the final play of the game. And they lose in one of the most dramatic losses ever. And that's really what I thought about when I saw that they had won the state championship, because that's the first time in school history they had won any state championship. And they were 12-0 that year, man. Had come all the way back miraculously from 41-17 to take a 44-41 lead. And then the dude ran and returned the kickoff 100 yards for a touchdown. And they lost 48-44. You remember that game at all?
Hell yeah. That's one of the best 30-for-30s you'll ever see. You know, they did a whole
documentary. I didn't know they ended up doing a 30-for-30 on
that. Yeah, they did. And then I ain't know you was at the game.
I don't know how they didn't contact me.
Nah, dog, you can't be on all of them, dog.
I mean, since I covered the game, that's the only reason I said. You want me to tell you my last memory from covering that game? My boss happened to be in the press box that day. And at the end of the game, when it's all said and done, he walked up to me and said, "I cannot believe you were that calm during the whole thing." Because the game was going back and forth, and he had to write. And I just remember him telling him that I didn't really have no choice, man. Because the story had to be written, and I had to get it done. And so there was no time to be emotional about it and be screaming and shouting about the game change. I just had to execute and get it done. But it was a hell of a game, man. Matter of fact, the game is worth watching again on YouTube just because it was so phenomenal. Like I said, both teams were undefeated. It was not a full house, but it was 20,000 people at Texas Stadium. It was a phenomenal game that I'll never forget. I mean, if you said there's a 30-for-30, I may have to go back and watch it again, man.
Yeah, there's a special on that. I think it's 30-for-30. It's an ESPN. They made a special, and they talked to the players, and they talked to the coaches and stuff. And
here's what's funny. It was about 5 years ago. I was having dinner at a nice restaurant. I want to say it was Nobu at the Crescent. That's what I want to say, which is a sushi spot, high end sushi spot. I'm sure I was celebrating something for being there. And this dude walked up to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Taylor, You remember me?" I hate when people do that. And now I just be like, 99% of the time, I just be like, "I'm sorry, I don't. I said, but it's not you. I meet a lot of people over the course of my, you know, course of time. And so mm-hmm. I'm sorry I don't remember you. Who are you? He said, I'm Terrence Green. I played for Plano East. We had that. I said, oh, yeah, dog, I remember. And I really did once he said who he was. He was like a big-time tight end for them.
They interviewed
and,
him.
And, see? And so we just went back talking about the game for 5 or 6 minutes because he was a really good baseball player, and I think he was doing something with baseball, like being a classic baseball coach or something, elite baseball coach.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was just funny that, and like I said, that was like 5 or 6 years ago. He just ran into me at this restaurant, tapped me on the shoulder, and we started talking about that. You know, and just the wildness of it. But that's what I was thinking about when Plano East won their basketball championship last night. I was thinking how.
Let me interject here.
What?
Let me get, so we get, before we get too far. I hate when people come up to me and they do this too. Hey, man, you remember me? Well, is it college? Is it semi-pro? Is it the Army? Is it trucking? And they'll say, man, me and you played for the Arlington Broncos. You was the middle linebacker. Man, you was Jack back then. What happened? What you mean, dog? Oh, no, you was go ahead.
Can I tell the people what happened?
What happened, dog?
Okay. Now, I have permission, I think. This is not insulting. This is just funny to me.
Okay.
When I met Joe, he was probably 5'10", probably 220, built like an action figure. Which is how you want people representing your country and defending your country to look like.
Oh, sure. I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
And this is when I was in my fat boy stage. And we used to talk out because, I mean, he was Jack. He was defending the country.
I should not say
And I
nothing.
Said something one day, and he said, man, when I stop doing this, I'm just going to be a fat guy.
That's right.
I said, stop lying, man. He said, nah, dog. Trust me. When I get through with this service, I'm just going to sit around and be a fat guy.
Yep. There you go.
You know? Now, I saw him a couple weeks ago. He's looking pretty good. But for a while, he met his goal.
Oh, yeah.
And then he decided, you know, being a fat guy's overrated. I don't need to be a fat guy. I just need to enjoy my life a little bit.
Hey, man, I looked at some pictures. Me and my brother. My brother found some pictures down on the farm. I looked at them pictures, and I had my head turned sideways. I had a big old FUBU shirt on. I said, well, I guess the camera had about 35 pounds. So, I think I was pushing about 280 right then. I have been as high as 305, but it was good looking 305. But you know, so
yeah, okay,
hey,
that's what they say. But
hey, man, I ain't never had.
I'm
no
not
problem.
Saying nothing, man.
No, I'm just saying, I ain't.
No, we ain't. Hey, man, we know about you. Ain't never had no problems.
Some women like it like that. I don't know, but anyway.
Hey, dad bod is in style right now.
Yeah, it wasn't just, no dad
you know,
bod.
I gave
it
up and then he.
Yeah.
Then it came in style.
Yeah. But I did say that. Yeah. I said, man, I'm going to be honest.
That's one of the great quotes of all time, man. Yeah, I say that. I tell somebody that at least twice a year. I had a friend, man, told me he was just going to sit around and be a fat guy.
Hey, man. You train so hard. And then because I wasn't 5'10, 170 pounds, I always had to get taped in the Army. Even though I was mostly muscle, I had to get a tape test. Because I wasn't the standard or the average height and average. If you are larger than 170 pounds and you 5'10", if you ain't a wide body like
me, check your BMI.
They got to check your body mass index and stuff like that. So it was always, let me go get some ice cream. Oh, let me go run 6 miles. You know, you want sour cream on your taco? How about you go do some damn sauna? Go to the sauna. You know, it was training like that. So I trained. During college football, then I trained like hell during the Army, you know, and the weight was always at 220, 225, I was good, but just 230, 235, and there's problems. See what I'm saying?
Right, you know,
so it's like just that. So it was one of them things where I train. That's why I told you, when I get out of here, I'm gonna be a fat guy when I get. So trucking didn't help that. Didn't help that none. So yeah. That's that. I remember saying that. That's why I knew. I said, okay, I know where you're going with that.
But, well, this is a good segue because, you know, during especially this time of year, I like to give y'all a little workout, a little diet tips as you try. You know, Clarence chastised me for talking about getting your summer body right. But that just means getting your body to a point where you can feel good wearing your shorts and your tank tops and your T-shirts or whatever else it is you choose to wear during the summertime.
He said men don't say that. I don't know. I disagree with him on that. But he's my boy, but he's old fashioned in a lot of ways. Let's get his ass when he get on here, though. I don't want to ever get accused about us talking to him off Erica. We talking up. We can get on his ass, you know, face to face. It's all
good. In person.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So one of the things I like to tell y'all to do, if you're interested in losing weight, and remember, I've been an inner fat guy who had his inner fat guy on the outside for a long time. But about 5 years ago, I dropped about 50 pounds. I've kept it off. I do look sexy.
See, that's what he's talking about, so right? That's what Clarence talking about, so, right? Man, grown-ass man don't talk like that, but all right.
Hey, man, soda weight loss helped me get it off. And then I've kept it off with soda's help and with my own approach to food so that I manage food. It don't manage me anymore. But here's one of the easy things you can do to really watch your weight and drop a few pounds. And it doesn't matter whether you want to maintain your weight and make sure you don't add any, or whether you want to drop 10, 20, maybe even a life-changing 50 or 60 pounds. Check this out. Write down everything you put in your mouth. That's right. Write it down. You can write it down in a notebook. You can write it down in the notes app on your phone. You could do what I've done two or three different times over the course of the last 5 years. I like the app MyFitnessPal because it can take the barcode on anything you buy, and you just scan the barcode, and it'll put all the calories and fat and carbs and protein in your phone, and you can track it like that. But if you want to go that sophisticated, that's fine. You write it down. And here's why you write it down, man. For somebody like me, I was eating so many empty calories in a day. Meaning, I might have a handful of cashews. Literally a handful. Well, a handful of cashews is 170 calories. Somebody like me who's trying to drop a couple pounds a week, because I like to, when I'm in a weight losing mode, I like to accelerate it and go as hard as I can. I might be trying to eat 2,000 calories a day, which is a lot for me, based on what I eat. But dog, when I was having a handful of cashews at 170 calories an ounce, I was having like four or five handfuls a day. Do the math. That's like 600-700 calories just in cashews every day. And so you can imagine that was kind of slowing my progress down. That's 850 calories. That's half the calories I'm supposed to be eating on five handfuls of cashews at a given day. You know, I might have one in the morning, one in the afternoon, a couple at lunchtime. I mean, it's afternoon snack, one before I go to bed. Never thought about it. Once I started writing it down and looking at the number, I was like, oh, my God. Got to cut that out. So write down everything you eat, and that'll really help you. The other thing is, now, people talk about meal prepping all the time, bro. And people say, I ain't got time to meal prep. Well, I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and I said, I understand if you don't have time to meal prep your food for the week. I get that. Or if you don't want to do it, I get that. But when you start your day, you wake up, you wash your face, you sit down in the morning for a minute, you got to figure out what you're eating that day. Like, you can handle breakfast, but what are you eating between the time you leave the house for work and the time you come back? You have to have a plan for what you're going to eat so you don't get waylaid. Hey, what if the fellas want to go out to lunch today? That's fine. Where we going? Check the menu out. All these little bitty tips, man, will help you control your food intake and get you on that path to get your summer body. Because now is the time when you work on your summer body. So that's my tips for this week, man. Write your food down. Log everything you eat. Just do it for a week. Everything. That bag of chips. Everything. And then you can see what you're eating, how many snacks you're eating. You can also see what's easy to cut out. Everything you drink. Nothing worse to me than drinking calories. I'd rather eat. That's really why over the years, I really don't drink anything but water. I really don't. Water, sparkling water, I mean, I may drink some zero Gatorade that doesn't really have anything in it, but I don't drink anything that's got any sugar, any calories in it. I'd rather eat my calories. So that's my summer body tip that's of the week. Tip.
Drink the calories.
Thanks, man. Calories, I appreciate
drink
that.
The calories. That's a good tip. Yeah.
Now, let me give y'all a very easy recipe this week. Now, I used to do this all the time, and I decided I'm finna go do it again today. It's a great snack. You can eat it for a meal, or it's a perfect snack. You know, once you start trying to build muscle and lose weight, muscle weighs more than fat. So if you add muscle by lifting, that's great. Even if you're doing body weight exercise, that's great. But the more protein you eat, protein helps you build muscles. Eggs are a great source of protein. Here's a great snack. They call them egg white muffins. Now, you can use a regular egg if you don't like egg whites. You can use whole eggs. But all you do, bro, is you take a cup of egg whites and mix them up like you finna, you mix them up, whip them up, and then you take, put some cooking oil in some muffins in a muffin pan. Then you pour the egg whites into the muffin pans. Now you see how you're making muffins, right?
Yeah.
Then you sprinkle a little bit of, I sprinkle a little bit of bacon in there that I've cooked and cut up, or you can get bacon, you know, bacon, natural bacon from Sam's or somewhere like that. But I sprinkle a little bit of bacon in there. I sprinkle a little bit of red onion in each one of them, a little bit of cheese in each one of them. That's it, dog. That's all. That's what I like in my eggs. A little salt, a little pepper, a little garlic for me, a little Parmesan cheese for me. That's what I like. The one thing I can't put in the air fryer, my brother. I put them in an oven. Mm-hmm. I bake them on 400 mm-hmm. for about 18 minutes. Pull them out, let them cool. You have egg white muffins.
Let me say something.
Yes, sir.
For some shit that's healthy.
Yeah.
That shit sound very good. That's the key. Duh. That's pretty good. I mean, I'm just saying, sometimes you get these healthy recipes and this garbage. Just be like, that shit don't sound appealing at all. But the last couple of recipes you done, that shit sound good because it's making me hungry. So, then that that sound like something I would try. Definitely, and it sounds delicious.
It's really just like eating an omelet. It just come in a muffin form. And what happens is you can grab so you hungry. It's because eggs have very low calories in them. So you hungry. You need a snack. It's the middle of the day. Oh, okay. Let me go grab a couple of these muffins because you take them out, you put them in a Ziploc bag. And now you can put them in the microwave for about 45 seconds. You can put them in the air fryer for a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. It's a great snack.
Yeah.
Great snack.
I'm gonna have to
you got some
that.
Protein, it's low-cal, and it's filling. And
well,
so,
I've developed an egg. I think I have an egg allergy because of the yolk. I'm going to try the whites. Can you buy the whites?
You can buy egg whites at any grocery store.
Okay.
You can buy them at Sam's. You can buy them at Costco's. Look for them over there by the milk.
Okay.
And if not, you can try egg beaters, which are egg substitutes, which are pretty close to eggs. I used to eat them for a long time. But now I've eaten egg whites probably exclusively for like the last 10, 12 years.
I'm a legit.
Occasionally, I'll
try
eat regular that. Eggs, but no, it's great. Well, try it. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
We'll talk to the people about it next week. But that's
you know, if it wasn't worth a damn, I'd tell you. But it is good. Now let me ask you a question, right quick.
Yes, sir.
Did you think back in the day when I kind of hated saying that to you because you was a fat guy and I wasn't. But did you think I was trying to pick at you or mess with you or something when I said that? Because I kind of felt bad about saying I want to be a fat guy when
What did you say?
When I said I want to be a okay. Well, you know what I'm saying. I was like, damn, did I? Because we didn't really know each other that well. And I was like, damn, did I say the wrong thing? I worried about that. Then you brought it back up. But yeah.
If I came back after that 51-3 Madden loss, man, you couldn't really run me off.
Oh, yeah, no. No, not at all.
That's the first time we ever played Madden. I think I lost 51-3. And Joe always said, I didn't think I'd ever see you again, man.
Yeah, either that or when I picked you off with Willie Brown. You know what I'm
That's
saying?
That's the only time I really wanted to punch you. Joe would play with the Raiders, and he was better than me. And I'd throw an interception, and he'd call me Willie.
I would pick you with Willie Brown. Call
That's me, what I'm saying. You picked me off with
Willie Brown. The Willie Brown is the Hall of Fame cornerback from the Raiders. And we would play the champion. We would go to home Blockbuster and rent the championship. Did we buy the
championship?
Did we
edition.
Buy that? I think I bought
it. One of us bought it.
Yeah, I bought it.
We
yeah.
used to have to rent it, then one of us bought it.
I think I bought it. Yeah, I bought it. Yeah. And we played the championship edition. We'd had all the Super Bowl champs and some other teams from like 19. Well, from the first Super Bowl to, 97 or something when we was playing?
Yeah, because I used to play with the 72 Dolphins all the time.
Oh, yeah. Good times, man.
Because they had a running game. But, yeah, he picked me off with Willie Brown. And he started singing that damn song.
Call me Willie. Call me Willie. Yeah.
I wanted to choke that motherfucker. But that was in the height of his service days, so I couldn't even do nothing. I just sit there and take it.
You choked me right then when you said that. Good time. Hey,
used to piss
good
me
time.
Off more than that.
Man, we had so much time back then to go to car shows and goof around. And I remember your ex-wife calling him saying, "Joe, this is Denise Taylor. Is my husband there?" Yeah, hold on just a second.
Because they didn't even have cell phones then, really.
Hell no. She called me on the doggone, on the landline and said, "Hey, where's Jacques? You know where he is. Hold on. Here you go." They ain't say nothing.
Because I would leave the house I'd get over the house about 8 o'clock. His wife would go to work.
Yep.
We order pizza by noon.
Yep.
Wife show back up at 5.
Yep. Hey, how y'all doing?
I guess it's time for me to go.
Yep. See you later, man. 8 hours
of
Madden.
Good old days.
8 hours of Madden. Nope. We didn't have nothing to do, dog. Nothing.
No kids.
No kids, yep. Yep.
No nothing.
Good.
That's how I used to spend my Saturdays.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that every Saturday, but my wife was at the time in the Air Force Reserve. So when she had to put in her 1 weekend a month, that's when we used to do that for sure, because I didn't have nothing to do on them 2 days.
Yeah, I would have thought it was every Saturday because, man, I came home from Fort Hood. I was at Hood. My wife was in Arlington, so I came home every Saturday. But I know I saw your ass a lot because she went to work. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. Good times.
Yeah, well,
good
that's,
times, man.
No, that was good. This went along, so we're gonna talk about The Wire next week, so we can give it its full discussion. Because the 16th anniversary of The Wire ending was this week, and we're gonna talk about our top three favorite characters from The Wire. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna put this on Twitter so that y'all can participate in Wednesday's conversation. And we can expand it a little bit and bring all y'all into it.
Yeah, I had
top three favorite characters.
I had three categories. I was doing my research on that. The top three gangsters, top three cops, and top three kids.
Damn, that man went full out on it. So, we're going to get into on Wednesday.
Well, it should be good times. It's such a wide, varied show. I want to get your take on the newspaper part. I liked it. I have friends that are in that business. Always wondered what y'all felt about it. We can talk
We'll get into that. We always appreciate Greening Law. We can't make the show happen without them and the great work that Robert Greening does in the community. So we always appreciate them. We appreciate my boys at Smokey John's Barbecue, home of the Jam Session Bowl. Remember, you can find Smokey John's Barbecue all over Dallas-Fort Worth at HEB's. It's on the shelf. The rub is on the shelf. Don't forget, you can go to the marketplace on their app, on their website, SmokeyJohns.com. Click on the marketplace app and get the rub or the sauce sent to your crib ASAP. Be there in a couple of days. Don't forget, hey guys, I had a couple people send me text messages this week because they bought my book, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders and the Making of Men. I spent the 2022 season in Jackson State with Deion. Anything and everything you want to know about him as a coach and why he's successful, you can find in the book. He gave me total access to the program. And the book, if I do say so myself, is phenomenal because it takes you inside a program like no other book you've ever read will take you, into the locker room and everywhere else. Don't forget, we need you to go to the YouTube channel. Hit the like, subscribe, and leave us a comment. The Real Jacques Talk. You can follow us on IG at The Real Jacques Talk, and you can always find me on Twitter at JJT Journalist. I am Jean-Jacques Taylor is the handle. So until we chat again, you guys be blessed.